Having transformed himself into a Southerner fighting for a cause, Davidson's story helps to answer a question posed by historian Gary Gallagher, who noted, quote, "It defies modern understanding that any people, especially one in which non-slaveholding yeomen formed a solid majority, would pour energy and resources into a fight profoundly tainted by the institution of slavery. Yet the Confederate people did so. Until historians can explain more fully why they did, the story of the Civil War will remain woefully incomplete," end quote. Preston Davidson's story helps us to better understand the attractiveness of the Southern way of life. And yet, Davidson's story cannot be just about him. As such, it differs from many accounts of the wars told from the perspective of the front lines. Preston fought alongside and against family and friends on both sides of the sectional divide. Nor is it just a story about a school, or in his case, schools, and how they were affected by the war. It is also not just a story that reflects on a family, divided or not, or a community at war. All of these are important to understanding the Civil War, as they enrich the scholarly works that focus on topics such as religion, politics, or specific battles. But in some ways, Preston Davidson's story is unique because it melds all these branches of study into one. That the war was a struggle within a national family, that it was a brother's war, is a cliche. It is also accurate, and in Davidson's case, true. How he and others in his generation saw themselves in the nation or nations they were a part of or hoped to be a part of takes us beyond cliches and into the realm of what caused the war he and they fought in. If any one man's story can get us closer to answering Gallagher's question, I believe that man is Preston Davidson. For here was a Northerner who opted to fight for the South. Here is a non-slave owner who supported the peculiar institution on the war's front lines. Here is the story of an unapologetic rebel bulldog and his divided and conflicted family in the war that defined our nation. That intriguing opening is from Jason Lanser's book, Rebel Bulldog, The Story of One Family, Two States, and the Civil War. Let me note that this upcoming academic year, we'll be exploring the American experience of the Underground Railroad, the efforts by people of all ages, races, religions, to enable Black American slaves to free to the freedom of the Northern states and even into Canada. Today's book, Rebel Bulldog, tells the true story of a significant but often puzzling part of that experience, as we just heard. Why Northerners, who had hailed from states which did not countenance the horrors of slavery, came to support, and in the case of Hoosier-born brothers Preston and Dorman Davidson, came to fight for the society that the antebellum American South imposed upon its residents. Rebel Bulldog is all the more relevant as Preston Davidson, our lead character in this true life study, and his immediate family hailed from Indiana, Indianapolis in particular, but with a deeper generational Southern background, as Preston and Dorman's grandparents and extended family hailed from the states of Virginia and Kentucky. Not so rare a background for many folks living in the 1860s in the Midwest, our book's author tells us in his instructive introduction. And two, Rebel Bulldog, through its telling of this extended family story, relates to us the story of the academic and the Protestant religious experience of the antebellum 19th century. For the Davidson family was deeply involved with both the Presbyterian Church and the new Indianapolis-based college that would become Butler University. Our author tells us, through telling those religious and collegiate stories, as well, that both academics and mainline religious Protestants were as divided as the rest of the nation, despite their ongoing efforts to respond with national, as opposed to sectional, dialogue to the thorny question of slavery and secession, from its existential existence to contemporary efforts to end, or at the very least restrict, the expansion of slavery into the yet-to-be-organized territories of the American Midwest and West. The book's author argues that the anti-slavery, pro-slavery feelings and arguments within these otherwise collegial institutions, Presbyterian religion nationwide, and of course the academic world, only helped to feed the growing divisions between North and South. We can see the generational differences and the generational passions between Preston's family, senior and junior, the Hoosiers, the Virginia Wings. And let's remember that the younger Davidson brothers, both Preston and his older brother Dorman, were at that impressionable yet growing into manhood time of life when passion and the opinions of peers was often a stronger motivator than reflection. Certainly, passion was stronger than their young lives' experience with the wider world and with the philosophical and religious arguments that would inform them. Thus, the elder Papa Davidson could and did argue with his religious, political, social peers, both in his native state of Indiana and in his older family state of Virginia and Kentucky, about the place of slavery in their contemporary America. The Davidson brothers, on the other hand, were more motivated by their real-time experiences with Southern secession and subsequent Civil War, which took place just as their college years in Virginia were beginning to happen. And so as the nation plunges into a civil war that truly pits brother against brother, cousin against cousin, the through line of Preston Davidson and Dorman Davidson and their families helps our author navigate the often confusing back and forth of the war as it sweeps from south to north, from east to west. As those of us more versed in civil history will remember, even into the raids of Indiana and neighboring Ohio by the Confederate guerrilla band known as Morgan's Raiders. And interestingly enough, the Davidsons are suggested to have perhaps been a part of Morgan's Raiders, both working with them and working to prevent their invasion of Indiana. Read as a more conventional history than as a family biography set in a particularly difficult set of decades in our nation's history, our author does well to paint the gray zones of slavery and anti-slavery sentiment and passion in the antebellum 19th century American North, South, and Midwest, pointing out that while the anti-slavery radicals, in quotation marks, known as abolitionists, were a real force in the North and often in the Midwest, the typical American effort to soften the edges of political conflict, to speak more moderately than with extremity, meant that anti-slavery sentiment was not as fierce in the North, including Indiana, as the history books from which we learn as youngsters often tell us. Finally, it's worth noting that our author captures well the frontier, soon-to-be-establishment nature of the Hoosier state and Hoosier society in the 1830s into the 1860s. We were, after all, a state newly born only a couple of decades before, a state in which the veneer of respectability and culture were cheek by jowl with frontier justice and frontier states of mind. I want to finish by reading a little bit from the end of Preston Davidson's career as a Confederate soldier. He did indeed decide to fight for the South, for the Virginia that had become his home during his early college years. And of course, we know the South secessionist effort did not end happily for Southern slaveholders and those who had fought for the Confederacy. And here's what our author tells us about that and about Preston Davidson himself. The loss of the war was a shock. The pain in having been defeated was made even worse by the realization that all the sacrifice and blood and treasure was for nothing. Sacrifice, death, destruction, those were all meaningful so long as the outcome was victory. But what were Southerners supposed to take of these things in defeat? Why had God allowed it? For some, such ruminations led to hatred and bitterness. Hardly surprising, considering how much faith, emotion, blood, and treasure Southerners had invested in their bid for independence. The destruction of the Confederacy seemed almost biblical in its affirmation of the sin of slavery. Southern Christians were forced to determine if they had lost because they had failed in the trust that God had given them. The defeat of the South also meant that Southerners who had blasted the North, its churches, and its economic system as unchristian, were now forced to live under all those things. Southern ministers counseled that the Yankees were merely God's instruments. They had not been able to defeat the South on their own. For Southerners, winning souls was easier to do in the long run than winning the war. Most soldiers, whether North or South, just wanted to get on with their lives, but that proved difficult. Living in a camp with your brothers in arms for years was different from returning home to your loved ones and living with them. Returning soldiers often seemed graver than when they had left. Furthermore, surviving the war, even being a hero in conflict, did not guarantee post-war success. Many veterans, North and South, found that surviving in the newly reunited nation was as much of a struggle as the war itself. For Preston Davidson and many others, trapped in many ways between both regions of the nation, it was even harder. It's quite a story, the story of the Davidson family, of the two brothers, Preston and Dorman, who found themselves on literally opposite sides of the Civil War. It's all a story told in Rebel Bulldog, the story of one family, two states, in the Civil War, by Jason Lancer. It's quite a read. It's available at all of our fine libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.